Let's take a look at the how do we get our children to be polite. Now, this has really come out of conversations that I've had with parents in previous workshops where they shared their frustration about their children not saying please and thank yous. And it got me thinking, well, are there skills that would really make a difference in this specific situation? And the skills that I believe really work, and we've tested, and we've shared, and we've trained in, are skills which will only work to the same degree that you're aware that your children are polite or not polite. So that's a catch-22 in us. So what I mean by that is, I was staying with the family for 2 weeks, and during that time, the parents shared with me how frustrated they were that their daughter was impolite, wasn't saying please or thank you, etc., etc. So I said, well, I'll quickly share with you some skills. So I shared with them the skills I'm going to share with you tonight. And over the next week or so, I saw that they were applying them, and I saw the child respond positively and with less resistance, and they actually started to get there. But what I noticed was that the parents were only applying the skills 1 out of the 3 times that the child was being impolite, right? So when I engage the parents and I just say, so how's it going? You know, do you feel that you're sharing skills with her all the time? And they said, yes. And according to them, they had felt that they were doing it all the time that she was impolite. So they weren't aware that there were another 2 situations where she wasn't. Now, the result that I saw was that she actually had improved, but only about 30%. More polite than she was before, right? So she was only remembering to say please and thank yous 1/3 more than she had before, which kind of made sense to me, because for 1 out of 3 times she was getting reinforcement that she needs to be polite, but for 2 out of 3 times she was also getting reinforcement that she didn't need to be polite because she still got what she wanted, even though she wasn't being polite. So it kind of makes sense that, well, if a parent isn't aware of when the child is impolite, how can they apply the skills I'm going to share with you? Because you aren't aware that they're impolite, so you can't use that. So that's the first challenge of this kind of workshop, is if you're wanting your children to be polite, it's going to be directly proportional to your awareness of them being impolite or not. Once you have that awareness, then the thing is, well, what do we do about that, right? And that's very much what I'd like to share with you and work in that domain. Now, what might be useful to look at first is those kinds of examples of how we were brought up to be polite. Right, and for me, there are a couple, and you might have some others, and I'd like to hear if there are some. So actually, let's just open it up. So if your parents, let's take those, your parents or grandparents, can you recall yourselves as to what they said to you if you forgot to say your please and thank yous? Anyone?
Magic word.
Okay, so can I have some juice? Oh, you forgot to say the magic word. And sometimes, this is what another parent shared in the last workshop, their children's response was abracadabra. Right? And it's like, no, that's not the magic word. Okay? So firstly there, that was the first one, like, well, magic word. Any other responses from your parents of how they try to train you in that?
What do you say?
Mm. Yeah, so it's like, can I have some juice? Like, what do you say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, that's, no. My grandfather used to say to me, when I say, I want some juice, he would say, you want nothing. Right? That was his response of telling me, no, not going to happen. Okay? The other one could be, if it's quite a bold one, like, Mom, you need to increase my pocket money. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, excuse me? Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's like, how dare you ask me this? And just so blatantly. So there's that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. Any others that come up for you?
Smack.
Okay, so even that. Okay. I don't know if that helps you say please and thank you.
No, no.
Just might be the response to that. No?
Pardon?
Yeah, so that's the same thing. So can I have some juice? Pardon? It's like you're missing something there.
No, I can't hear you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I can't hear you. Yeah, until you say the right word. Well, that's the other one. Mm-hmm. You know, you haven't said the right word. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes say, you haven't asked me nicely. Mm-hmm. Can I have some juice? No, you still haven't asked me nicely. You know, so it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to find? What word am I supposed to come up with? Right? Mm-hmm. So have I missed any art that you might be aware of? I mean, that for me is kind of sums it up, right? They either react, or there's a bit of sarcasm, or the traditional skills of, well, you haven't said the magic word, you haven't asked nicely. So a lot of those things, okay? And those things don't really work, as I'm sure you've experienced. And in my experience, the reasons I'll share with you now, they just don't work. So we need to find something else. And the beauty of this skill set is literally, it's just in one sentence, and I'm going to share that with you, and then we'll start to deepen and go into what some of the curveballs might be, right? Because we've got to remember that if one skill solved all problems, well, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't need to be here because you would just have the one thing and that's it, we could all go home. The challenge is that children are different, situations are different, sometimes we feel different, we might be angry and they're saying that, the child might be angry when they're asking something, and then how we respond to them is going to impact that situation. So they're all curveballs which change the result that we want to get. But all of those still fall under, for me, in this specific skill, really just a key sentence. And before I want to share that sentence with you, there's another one that actually comes up for me of a skill that doesn't work, which is what I call the dissociation of the P's and the request. What I mean by that is a child says, "Can I have some juice?" The parent says, "Oh, you didn't say the nice word," or whatever it is. The child says, "Please," and then we give them the juice. But the challenge with that is we are reinforcing that what they're requesting and please are separate. Right? "Can I have some juice?" "You need to ask me nicely, please." And then we say, "Thank you, here's your juice." That doesn't train them in actually asking it together, which is what we want. We want them to ask. We don't have to say every time, ask nicely, and then they add the please. We want them to have a join. So that skill in itself also is insufficient. So the sentence that works really well is, "Please ask me that politely." As simple as that. And I'm going to share with you why that just opens up some really beautiful things. So what I'd like for you to do is take a look at your books. They're underneath where you're sitting. And if you turn to page 4, you can just see some cartoons there of situations that don't help much. So there are those cartoons of techniques that don't support. We've chatted a bit about them. So one is obviously reacting, being sarcastic. "I'm hungry, I want food now." "No, you didn't ask nicely." "Mom, you're going to buy me some more clothes." "Excuse me, what was that?" All the things that your parents said to you. "Can I have some juice?" "Oh, you didn't say the magic word." Abracadabra. And underneath you can also see the dissociation of the two words. "Can I have some juice?" "You didn't say the magic word, please." And that again is what I had shared. So over the page, you can see the cartoons on "Please Ask Me That Politely." And it's this page, just straight to the next one. And let's just read through those before I share with you why this just works like absolute, just smooth sailing straight through. So instead of reacting, "I'm hungry, I want food now." "No, you didn't ask nicely." Reply with, "Please ask me that politely." "Please, can I have some food now?" "Mom, you got to buy me some more clothes." "Please ask me that politely." "Mom, please, can you buy me some more clothes?" "Can I have some juice?" "Please ask me that politely." "Can I have some juice, please?" Now, over the page are some other possible variations of how you might want to say or remind your child. And I'd like to share with you some of the curveballs of why I don't think they're going to work that well. So, for example, some people might say, in response, "Can I have some juice?" And you say, "Please remember to say please." The challenge is it could come across, and this is never always an absolute right, it could come across as that you're accusing them. So, "Please remember to say please," is, well, you forgot to say please, so I'm asking you to remember, right? Which basically implies that you didn't do it before, and the sense of the child will pick that up. Some will just say, "Okay, great, no problem, thanks for reminding me." What we're wanting to create is words that will lessen a possible confrontation. Okay? The next one, "Ask me that politely, please." It's the exact same words, just the "please" is at the end. Now, the challenge with that is, if you listen to the difference, "Please ask me that politely," "Ask me that politely, please." The "ask me that politely" is all the child hears, like a command, "Ask me that politely," and then the "please" is at the end. When you put the "please" at the front, "Please ask me that politely," the child automatically feels that you're not as accusational as in the second one. So it's amazing what one word in a different place can create. And again, these aren't hard fix that if you say to a child, "Ask me that politely, please," that they're going to get all upset with you. It's just that we want to ensure that we can get our target, which is to get our child to cooperate with us with the least resistance. And that's really what we're trying to focus on so that we avoid a lot of the confrontation. Also, you might say, we say please when we need something. So that for me just creates a sense of this teacher-lecturer, that a child says, can I have some juice? We say please when we want something, is something that I would experience from my grandparents. It's like they're trying to instill in me, teach me that this is what needs to happen. So it could come across as, oh, cranky. Yeah, here I go in your lecture. So there's a possible confrontation or resentment that could build up from there. The next one, please ask me that again politely. Now, although we're going to use this phrase a bit later, that word again runs the risk of implying you didn't do it the first time, so you need to ask me again. So again, it could impact the child and make them think, oh, you know, I got it wrong the first time. So we've looked at why some of those words might not work. Let's take a look at why please ask me that politely, just avoid so many of those risks. Firstly, it's modeling exactly what we're wanting. Right? We are saying both please and what we're wanting in one sentence. Please ask me that politely. Secondly, there's no accusation. There's no referring to what they have done or haven't done before. It's just a statement of what you need and a request, obviously, in that. Please ask me that politely. That's non-confrontational. It's just stating what we're needing as a request. It's short and sweet. We're modeling it. There's the flow in it, as opposed to making the child, or actually anyone that you're dealing with, feel bad or wrong or accusing them about anything. It's just a short and sweet example I get. Please ask me that politely. Does that make sense?
Okay. I want yogurt.
Please ask me that politely.
Please, can I have yogurt?
Great, great. Nice example. Choose another one.
I want red shoes on.
Please ask me that politely.
Can I have red shoes on?
Okay, let's do two more in that scenario.
I want Easter eggs.
Please ask me that politely.
Can I have my Easter eggs, please?
Okay. And choose one more.
I want my fairy dress.
Please ask me that politely.
Please, can I have my fairy dress?
Okay, so let's just check at this moment. What is your experience when she says, please ask me that politely?
Quite soft.
Okay.
Not soft volume, soft gentle.
Yeah. And your experience of, does it pull you into wanting to be polite, right? It doesn't create a tension or conflict. And look, I know this is a role play, it's quite different, right? But your experience of asking her that?
It's to the point. There's no fuss about it. Yeah. It's just, that's what I need.
Yeah.
It's clear. Yeah.
Now, obviously, it will be slightly different when you might be feeling different, right? Because there can also be this, how your intonation back is also going to make a difference. You know, a difference. At this moment, it might come across as, you know, maybe slightly contrived. At the same time, when you're with your children, you know, it's a different dynamic. It's not just a role play. So the real challenge would be is when you're going home and actually testing it and seeing if you can remember it and then replying, and likewise, you just see it just unlock so many other situations.
Do you experience a different result when you are coming from frustration? When you're going, please ask me that politely. Or do you still get the draw in?
I would be the wrong person to ask because I don't experience myself getting to that point where I'm asking for that. But that's the way I manage myself is slightly different. I would expect you would still get the child to do it, but they might just have a slightly more look at you like, oh, what's going on here?
And they won't feel as good about themselves.
Yes, yeah. They might think that they've done something wrong. They would still ask you politely, which is what we're wanting. At the same time, it doesn't have to be a, please ask me that politely. It doesn't have to be contrived. I mean, it will come with your feeling of, for me, it's the more you can just come from a space of, this is what I'm needing. Not that I don't want to give it to you or I do want to give it to you, but just that, and that opens up. Because what we'll do just now is we'll discuss, well, what happens if your child asks for something that you won't give them? Mom, can you give me an increase in pocket money? Right? Now you're there, well, no, but what happens if I say to them, please ask me that politely, does that give them a belief that I will say yes, as opposed to shutting it down right then and there? Right? Now, in my world, first and foremost, I'll ask them to get polite. The reason is because I can handle, through the other skills that I've got, how to say no to them in a way that doesn't make them feel bad. Right? Like the alternative to say no workshop. For some people, the moment, if they don't shut that conversation down now, then for them, it's just going to be hell to break loose. In my experience, because I'm not afraid of that kind of conversation, I'll still focus on, please ask me that politely. Mom or Dad, can I increase in pocket money, please? then I'll go on to say stuff like, okay, well, it really sounds like this is something important to you. This is quite a big decision for us. So how about we sit down later on tonight and just take a look at it? Yeah. But that's a skill set that we train in the alternatives to know. Mm-hmm. But for someone who can't do that, feels like if they're saying, please ask me that politely, Dad, could I please have an increase in pocket money? No, sorry, you can't. Then there's a crisis, right? Exactly. Then it's all going to be upside down. So it depends on the skill sets of that person.
And that please ask me that politely goes to consistency, that every time they ask, that please needs to be in.
Yeah.
Even if they're going to ask for something that you're going to say no to.
Yes. Well, at the same time, remember that in our world of alternatives to know, it's a whole range of skills to still say no, but in a way that doesn't make them feel that they're not getting what they're needing or that you don't care, which is what's so important. We'll start looking now at some of the curveballs and how we can accelerate it. Any other questions on that?
Two questions. The phrase, can I have some manners, please?
Can I have some manners, please?
Your thoughts on that?
Okay.
Again, the please is at the end, so there's the same risk that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And then my second question is, what when they don't have, like Gabriel, who's two, has just started to speak and is just beginning to understand language, what when they don't have a framework to understand the word politely?
Okay. I know that you're saying, when you say, please ask me that politely, he doesn't understand that.
Politely isn't something that he doesn't understand yet.
Okay, great. So let's take the first one. Can I have some manners, please? Okay, so let's say something to me.
I want some juice.
Can I have some manners, please?
Please, can I have some juice?
Okay, so what is your experience when I'm saying to you, can I have some manners, please?
It came across quite strong, a better.
That could be the one situation, right? So that's one. Any other feelings that sit there for you?
No.
Okay, so just hold it. Can I ask any of you the same one, and I'll say the same thing? Just ask me again, can I have some juice?
Can I have some juice?
Can I have some manners, please? What is your experience of that sentence?
What are manners?
Okay, so that could be one thing. Let's say that I've told you what manners are. Can I have some manners, please?
No.
What, you're saying no, you're not going to give me manners, okay? Why? What is it that's triggering you there?
I did something wrong.
Yes, right? There's a condescendingness to it.
Yeah.
Okay? Can you see that as a possibility? I'm not saying that it's necessary there. Because what you're implying is, can I have some manners, please, implies that they weren't there before. Mm-hmm. And you did that wrong. Mm-hmm. So now I'm saying, I will give it to you. I need some manners, please, first. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm saying to you, please ask me that politely, I'm not referring to what you've done wrong. I'm just stating what I'm needing from you. And it's just so beautiful. It's just there. It doesn't have an attachment of a lot of the other stuff. Does that make sense? Mm. Can you? And I get that you might not have felt that because you originated that sentence and it solved a certain problem for you. That's why I chose someone who doesn't, because they might feel the trigger. Does that make sense? Okay. And it might still work for some people. I'm certainly not saying nothing else works. I'm just wanting to be sensitive to where it might not work. And Kerry, she just resisted that. Okay? The second one is the framework of a child who's younger than language rich, right? So his experience of, well, what does politely please mean? Or what does polite mean? Like I've shared often in any of the workshops where there's the experience that our child doesn't have the language, the vocabulary yet for the skills we're using, there are two things that I usually say around that. The first is where else are they going to learn it if we don't say it to them? If they don't understand what it is, then give them examples of how that looks. So you might say, Gabriel, please ask me that politely. And what that looks like is saying please in the sentence, and this is what it might be like. One, could I have some juice, please? That is being polite. And you might have to say that 4 or 5 or 6 times. Very quickly, like with any conditional training of any dog or animal, or even infants, and including ourselves as humans, we begin to associate things with a response, right? A stimulus and a response. And he will soon realize that when the sentence, please ask me that politely, it basically means, he needs to say please. It will take slightly longer to train you with that than if you did it to your 6-year-old where you just say, please ask me that politely, they get it and they respond. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I certainly wouldn't change that. I would just add on a bit more of, what it means. Mm. So polite means we say please and thank you, and I would model for him the phrase that you're looking for. Mm. So Gabriel, what we say when we wanted some juice is, Mom, could I have some juice, please? That is being polite. And then you would move on. Does that make sense? Mm. Okay, so great two questions. Thank you.
Okay, so fresh off the bat, after last night's workshop, I get home in the morning and Gabriel asks me something. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like, juice, please, Mummy, or... that's what it was. It was hose pipe. So, because he's only two and he's only just recently started grasping language, I've been doing a lot of the alternatives to no. So, my default response at that moment was, well, hose pipes are games that we can play with the hose pipe when it's sunny, and now it's cold and we're getting ready for school. So, let's think about what we're going to do when we play with the hose pipe when it's sunny. And then suddenly I was like, awareness. These are one of these moments when he should be saying please and he can now speak. So I need to start tuning into those moments. So I asked him, please ask me that politely. So he goes, please. And then I'm like, oh, now what is he going to do? Because I'm going to use the next sentence and will he even understand it? So I say to Gabriel, I say, please ask me that politely and share what it is that you need. So he looks at me, and you can see he's like, what did you just say, Mom? So I say, okay, so Gabes, what I need you to do is, I need you to ask me that politely, and I need you to tell me what you want at the same time. It would look something like this. Mommy, hose pipe, please. So then he thinks about it, and he goes, Mommy, please, hose pipe, fun.
So, yes. Did you want to add anything to that?
Just that it was great. It was very effective. And even at two, he got it.
Yeah. And that's really what we've discussed, right? That concept of, well, if a child doesn't have the language vocabulary, do we need to change it or not? And my response was, well, where else are they going to learn it? And it shows that he integrated it and still obviously came up with what was appropriate for his age. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's conveying that there's significant movement forward to still being respectful in what he was actually wanting. Mm-hmm. And of course, as I think your email said, I mean, it's just adorable when that happens.
Mm-hmm. It was very cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
But I did experiment again more with the please with Gabriel, and he gets it now straight away. I don't even have to say the next sentence. If I do, then he does. He'll just say, please ask. And if he doesn't have the words, then I know that that's his effort to put the two together. So, yeah, he's got it.
Great. Excellent. Thank you.
So, I've got more of a channel on the same line. This is that he's just literally just started to talk. So, that's his work. Let's see if we can start on the right level. So I've said ta because there's no way that he would be able to say please.
Yep.
Okay, so how do I manage that? Because he just, at the moment now, he's just going, driving me bonkers. Yep. And every single time he like squawks if he wants something. So we've gone like ta mama, but then I'm still not... It's not creating the basis of, but there's just no possible way that he's going to get to even please.
Yes, at this stage.
At this stage, yes. It, right? So what's very challenging, what is actually challenging, then, now I've got a huge gap, the other two, then their manners have started to go down a little bit because they feel that it's not fair, right? That I'm not instilling these manners on him, and so it's like this vicious circle. And obviously now he's got another two parents. So how can I support them in supporting him?
Okay, so there are a couple of things that I want to just differentiate them, mm-hmm. right? First and foremost, what we're wanting is how do we support our children being polite, right? Part of your challenge is how do I now resolve three different children who believe that you've been unfair to the one because you can't speak properly to the others? That's a different thing. Right? That's not about how do I get my child to be polite. That's how do I deal with a child who can't yet say what I'm wanting him to say and to make the other people feel fair. Those are different skill sets which we could certainly look at. right? And part of that might be is I'll certainly approach the two bills and say, okay, so if we're wanting, you know, James just to be polite, and he can't yet say, what do you girls suggest that we do to get him to do that? So then they're going to have to originate those ideas. But as I said, that could be for a different conversation.
Yeah.
Your original question was just, how do we get James, who is not yet verbal and might barely say tar, to say something? I would respond the same way as I shared with Francois, which is, you're saying, James, please ask me that politely, and that might look like tar mommy,
okay,
or tar mama. Okay. And as language develops, you know, he will pick it up.
Mm.
You might, if you really want him, you could say, please ask me that politely, James. And what that looks like is, please, mommy, or tar mama.
Mm.
You know, so you can give him both variations, obviously depending on the age, where you feel that he can grasp or not. This is around, so for me, politeness is a reflection of an attitude or an intention you have. That's what we really want to. It's not, please itself holds no meaning.
No.
Right? We all know what it's like when, this is again going back maybe to even my parents or grandparents, when they say, you didn't say please, and you're like, please. You know? And they say, no, you need to say it with your feeling, please. And you know, that doesn't work, right? Because so please itself doesn't mean anything. What we're really wanting is our children to have this attitude, intention of not having a sense of expectation or that they're just going to get it, right? There's some respect that is shown. So how that would look would obviously depend on the person who can give it, and that can be in different ways. For some people, even if the please is not there, they're feeling that the child is still being polite because of the intonation and the way that the child has said, Mom, can I have some juice? You know, it doesn't come across as just demand. So is that polite? Well, some of you might say yes. And in some way, I can hear that. I can hear that the child is actually being accommodating. For some people, please is essential. Like, please, for some reason, captures this belief that now my child's been polite. And in my world, I'd like them to say both. Because even though I might be in tune to someone's intonation and their tone and body language, that doesn't mean that someone else who listens to Kaylin is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So her teacher might feel that Kaylin's really rude, but I don't, because I can hear her intonation. I know she's being polite. But this world out there expects children to say please, or people to say please and thank you. But it's like a given cultural norm. So I'd like, in this case, for her to say both. So in your situation, the focus is in what are you wanting him to learn? A specific word, or that there is some way in which we usually ask for something as opposed to demand. And that might be what you're more focusing on, as opposed to whether he actually gets the pronunciation right, which I think would be secondary. And especially at that young age, it's, you know, it will grow and develop.
So what I was worried about is substituting the please, but it's also tonal, right? So
yeah.
He goes, then it's like, so I've gone like, ta, mama. And I've used a different tone, and he has mirrored me totally. And
exactly.
I mean, yeah.
And what you might want to add in, at this stage, I still wouldn't necessarily add in the stuff before until I feel that he's got more of a grasp on language, but certainly I would do it earlier than he can say it.
Okay.
Because how's he going to learn it? Okay. Right? And if you are able, then say, please ask me that politely, James, and that might look like ta, mama. And then that's the equivalent of,
okay,
please ask me that politely in his world.
So, for me, I became very aware when my children didn't say it, and when I knew that I needed to intervene. That for me became, because I had the awareness of that there were so many times, and I only noticed when it was like really, but there are so many other options that they just say, in conversation, and I feel like we need to improve that. So that's because my awareness grew a lot, as in when they're not actually being polite, not only directly to me, but actually in other conversations. So that is something that was very clear for me. Then with James, I had that question about that he's only just started to talk, and I started that conversation with him and saying, instead of pointing and squeaking, he would say, ta, mama, we be polite, we say time, but now my awareness is that he only does that with me. So I can see how it actually works because I've had that conversation with him. So whenever he would like something from me, he goes, time, mama, and it's like exactly the tone that I've used. So that was a huge thing for me, and now Tessa's actually started doing it. So she's gone, be polite, ta, yaya, yaya. And so I hear that the last 2 or 3 days, she does a lot of this. She loves this type of learning. So so it's starting to trade with that, just particularly with him.
Yeah,
are you going to get to thank you? Or is there a special phrase for thank you?
It came up in the last workshop that we had as well. And I did a quick check-in with the different parents. And for all of them except one, the thank yous weren't a concern. It was the please that came up. For the one, it was thank you was a challenge. They felt that if a child was saying please, they were saying the thank you. It was like the thank you was there if a child was saying please. Somehow it was there. Yeah, it wasn't that a child says please but misses thank you.
Mm.
It's usually, if they say please, they usually are saying thank you as well. It's usually never the other way around, which is they say thank you but forget the please the whole time. So I'm aware that it could be. I've done some thinking about that as well. I'll share it with you a bit later when we dealt with more of the curveballs of the please. It's along the similar lines, except it's more going to be of what... Let me actually see if I can share it now. It's a bit different because now they've already got what they want, right? So it's a different dynamic. It's not like you can just say to them, please ask me that politely and I'll give it to you. Please say thank you to me. It really is going to be like that. This is where you start blurring some of the curveballs that I mentioned earlier about... that curveball is this one. We say please when we need something. I would use the same thing. So if Kaylin was saying something, she forgot to say thank you. I say, we say thank you when we receive something. So it's like a reminder. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that there's still a challenge because it's implying that she hasn't said it and there's a possible charge there.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, please say thank you afterwards, it kind of also implies that to some degree. So it hasn't really come up in our family. So I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. It could be along those lines. But it looks like maybe you've got some solutions.
No, I was going to throw something else into it. So what when there isn't a...
Should we just deal with that? Did you have a solution?
Well,
like
my pipe is similar, so...
Is it another question?
Mine is more emphasis on thank you, and it is not a please. I think that's really
good. Okay. So, a new scenario, there's no please needed. Mm. A gift is given.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do you then coach the saying of a thank you in that scenario?
Yeah. Also, sorry, when they say it over people, no matter older, so it's like they've stayed the night or they've been to play.
Yeah.
That's, for me, a much longer process. Like, please, and that's for some reason they get that. It needs to be said more.
Okay, so let's open this up a bit? Or you got a response to that?
No, I have a question.
Okay, I haven't even got to the first role play yet. So maybe we should take a look at embedding just what we know before we get too deep in the curveballs, right? So let's take a step back. We're wanting our children to be respectful. There's an ultimate goal. How we measure respectful is partly whether they're saying please and thank yous, right? But those fall under this thing called we want our children to be respectful. So there are two time frames and larger goals that you're looking at. The one is in the moment, please ask me that politely, because right now you're going, that's what is needed. And the other one is, how do I get my child to appreciate and express that appreciation after having received a gift, after having spent a night somewhere, after having done a whole lot of things, right? Those are slightly different situations. The one is a conversation, the other is a reminder. Okay? In the moment is like a reminder. When we receive gifts, that for me would be like a conversation, which is saying, what we do, when people usually give gifts, this is what they usually do or say. They say thank you, some people write a letter, whatever it is in your culture or family or belief system is what you do after someone says thank you. Then I would get them to understand that. If it is that it doesn't happen the next time they receive a gift, right, I probably would, in this case, for me, and I'm not saying that's how it's done, if I'm aware that that there's so many situations where I've heard parents, in front of everyone else, then instruct the child, you need to say thank you, please. Now, it might not impact the child too negatively because the child's so engrossed in the gift. They're like, thank you, you know? Sensitive children will be aware they've just been pointed out and been, you know, told wrong. I would probably go out and say, just want to remind you, we say thank you in our family when we receive gifts. What I might then ask the child is, so if it is that we get gifts the next time, and it looks like it's difficult for you to remember, not you forgot. Okay? We can chat about the distinction of those two words like that. If I say to a child, if you get a gift the next time and you forget, again, it's the negative connotation, but listen to this wording. If you get a gift the next time and it's difficult for you to remember, which is far less confrontational, how can I remind you? What could be our secret word to remind you that we say thank you after receiving a gift? So if it is that the next time comes and Caitlin gets a gift and forgets, we would have some secret word where I could, you know, remind her, either by coming tapping her on the leg like that or by winking like this, but that will trigger her and say, ah, oh, I need to say thank you, and then she says thank you. Right? Yeah, that's kind of how I would work the thank you, because that's more of a conversation than just a please ask me that politely, which is, you know, one that comes every day we have that situation. Whereas the thank you is a bit different. Mm-hmm. Does that answer that one for now? Mm-hmm. Francois, is that okay on that?
Yeah. Oh, when you go to a child's birthday party and you walk in with a present and they are grabbing the present and into that bag before you've even walked in the door, going, I want my present, where's my present? Did you buy me a present? And it's out of your hand before, in front of a group of adults, in front of all their friends, and the last thing I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, because especially when it's not your child.
So what would your question be?
So what is a skill or a skill set for group manners, or when you're asking a child that you don't know to treat you respectfully? It's not for me, that's not even about polite, actually. That's just about...
Okay, so that is a slightly different conversation. For me, there are a couple of things. Obviously, if you know that, you put it in the bag, it's on your back, so when you walk in, they can't grab it, and then they can ask you, and then you can lay down your terms of engagement, right?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. But that's not in the moment. That's, you have already experienced that, so you know when you go to a child's party, and that may happen, you put the present in the bag. So when they come and say, where's my present? Where's my parent? You can then go and say, okay, hang on, I'm going to share with you how we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you can lay... So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there and I'm going to put my bag down. And what I need is, while I'm taking the present out, is for you to go and sit over there. And then when you're sitting with the legs crossed, I'm going to give it to you. And then you can do what you want with it. And then you've got their buy-in, right? Of course, the thing is, if you go in with the present and they're summing all over you, well, you'd make up your mind. Is it important for you to do something at this moment about it? Or is it not, and you just go with the flow, right? So that depends on your personality type, on what's happening, who's watching. You might... I mean, there's so many things that you could do. For me, it would be more around how you manage the situation than a skill set on how you train a whole lot of children to say, please, thank you, wait. That's a different scenario.
The child in question is my godchild. And we have... Okay, so we have lots of moments, her and I. So it's a longer term relationship thing, but that's fine. It's actually answered for me.
Yeah.
So we can.
Or you just know the next time, and then you just let her know. Or you go in, or if you see them grabbing, you could, I don't know. That's not a skill as such. That depends so much on individualities.
I didn't want to make her wrong in front of her. It was her birthday.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's important for me that there's a level of respect. But I'm getting it, I've got it.
Yeah. One which someone said to me is the best way to shock someone out of their whining, crying, you know, to check if they really are crying or if they're not, is you say something like, there's a big elephant! Right? And if a child who's whining, and superficial whining just to get your attention, they'll probably look and they'll stop whining, right? Then you know that it's just an attention-seeking whine. If they were really upset, they'll probably still keep crying. So if I found that there was this rugby match scrum going on, I'd probably say the same, Two words have been given. Everyone will stop and turn, and in that moment, I'll then
regain some composure,
take a present above my head and say, okay, guys, I got this present. Yeah. You know, oh, it looks like the birthday girl wants it. Well, this is where the present's going to go. The present, you know, and then I'll manage it in a different way, right? So it's, that would be a kind of skill of how do you, you know, just...
I was quite shocked, actually.
What?
At that experience.
From the thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so we've got that one there. Please ask me that politely. So here are some what-if situations. So let's say the one what-if situation is your child says, can I have some juice? You say, please ask me that politely. And they say, please. Right? There you've got the situation of, again, the dissociation of the please from the sentence. Now, there are two things to consider in that example. The first one is we're still wanting them to be polite, so we're wanting to remind them to be polite because they forgot in the first time. And secondly, we're wanting them to join the sentence. So the statement that we then share with them is along the lines, please ask me that politely and share what it is you're needing. Or please ask me that politely again and share what it is that you're needing. Remember I said that there's a time when we might use that again word. Please ask me that again politely and share what it is that you're needing. And usually they might say, what does that mean? And you say, just in one sentence, please. Sometimes they might need that clarity. Now, you might explore a bit more of this. It might be, please ask me that again politely and share what it is you're needing, or tell me what it is you're needing, or share what you're wanting. You need to find what sits for you as a reminder of what they've requested. For me, it doesn't have a charge, those words necessarily, but you might find words that do work well. What we're really doing is we're joining both of what we're needing to happen. Please ask me that politely again, and share what it is that you're needing. Then brings it into the one sentence, which is what we're wanting. Does that make sense? Yep.
I want to play a game today.
Please can you ask me politely?
Please.
Please can you ask me that again, and share what it is you need.
Okay, so here's a lovely example. You said, please, can you ask me that again? And the first one was, please, can you ask me that politely? Mm-hmm. Now, what you're doing there is...
But the politely.
No. Mm-hmm. Please, can you? Mm-hmm. She says, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Remember, this is sharing straightforward. Please ask me that again politely. Or please ask me that politely. It's a direct request. Please, can you ask me that politely? It's a bit like going around the corner. Mm-hmm. And we want you just to be straight and beautiful, but that's usually how we cushion it, right? By saying, please can you, or can someone please answer that? You know, it's like, well, someone could say, yes, I can, but must I?
Yeah.
You know, that's the risk. Mm. So we're wanting to even keep that out, just straight, please ask me that politely. And the same is, like you said, beautifully, please ask me that again politely and share what it is that you need. Great, but lovely example of how it can, we start including words which actually diminish the power of it, of being so simple. Mm. Yeah? So try another one and go for it again.
Can I have some tea?
Please ask me politely.
Please
ask me politely.
That's what you want in 10 minutes. Please ask me that again politely and share what it is you need.
So you always need to add the politely again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just start again.
Can I have some tea?
Please ask me politely.
Please
ask me again politely and share what it is you need.
Mom, please may I have some tea?
Yeah, like that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what seems to help is, and it would be interesting because I haven't heard it from how you shared it, is please ask me politely as opposed to please ask me that politely. Mm-hmm. It does carry a difference for me. I've used please ask me that politely because that's what I'm asking. Please ask me that politely as opposed to just please ask me politely. Mm. I don't know if people feel the difference. I prefer
please ask me politely.
Okay, so
it's not so for me harsh and not aggressive, but
okay. So explore it and see. For me, it still sits to say please ask me that politely. It seems to have a carry for me, but that's as long as you can feel that whatever you're substituting doesn't have a different experience that the other person's going to pick up on. So it might work, might not, but see what sits best for you. How about another example?
I want to go to the movies tonight.
Please ask me politely.
Please?
Please ask me again politely and then show what it is you need.
Please want to go to the movies tonight.
Okay, great. So, yeah, great. So, we're going to just switch it around now. Just you ask and you ask for the politeness. Yeah, that's how I'm just turning in. This is also for you to get.
I really want some shoes.
Please ask me that politely.
Please.
Please ask me that politely and let me know what it is that you also want.
Please, can I get some new shoes?
Sure.
Great. So that just came out and it was actually really clear. I mean, and that's what we're looking for. There was no, you know, of that frustration. I did hear you say, please ask me that politely.
Yes, I did. I just said it.
Great. Let's take another one and share again with Kate and the team.
Please buy me some chips.
Please ask me that politely.
Please.
Please ask me that and then tell me what it is that you'd like.
Please buy me some chips, Mum.
Okay, please ask me that politely. Where you get the drip?
I get the drip.
Yeah, great.
I suppose for me it was feeling softer as a child, but as a parent, it's that. Mm. I think that's most my experience is differently actually.
Yeah.
Is that as a child it was softer, but as a parent you have an authoritarian. That's a negative.
Well, we're being assertive.
Yes, being assertive is actually better to say after that.
Please ask me that again politely. It's just a reminder of, you know, it's nothing wrong, we just want you to say it again and share with me what it is that you're wanting, right? That's great. That sounds, you know, great. Makes sense? Did you feel it as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So let's leave that there.
My parent had to say that to me when I was 12, 13, whatever. I'll go like, please. Which actually what this says.
Sarcastically.
Yes, sarcastically. So what, I mean, I don't know if that has been a question. What happens if the please is comes out to Kat or like, please, mommy?
Yeah.
You know, in a way that is not actually... And then you go to that thing of you have still been polite, but it's not in.
Okay, so let me put it this way. Let me just get through the stuff we're going to get through, right? Because we're opening up now how to engage a child who's intentionally being negative. Because for me, I'll go right back and say, Kate, you know, I come back and say, Kate, it sounds like that maybe this doesn't work for you in what I'm asking you to do. So can we just check to see how in this family we will be then polite, that is going to work for you and will also make me feel that, you know, we're on this together. So I'm going to use different things to unlock that, which we've done in other kinds of workshops. I just want to make sure that in my experience, saying that sentence has unlocked practically all the other ones. And I'd hate for us to spend all the time on 2% of where it doesn't work and I miss the ones where we will going to get the curveballs, because we're going to cover those now. Does that make sense? Can I just bring us back onto that target? Great. You guys done on that one? Okay. And it might take a bit of tongue twisting while you're trying to get used to it. And remember, we're trying to learn something different from ingrained habits, which can be really quite tricky. So there are two things I want to quickly chat about before we go on to the next layer of the skill. Alistair brought up one of them, which is a comment he said, there's a lot of different ways that you can have an intonation in sharing, please ask me that politely. You can come across as a command, please ask me that politely, through to being super soft, etc., etc., right? What's worthwhile bearing in mind is where this skill is used more as a reminder, right, than as an instruction. Now, what I'm saying by that is, by now, I'm sure that your children know very well that they should be saying please and thank yous. Right? So that's kind of like there. What we want him to do is to remind him so that it becomes part of a habit for them, as opposed to we want him to teach them a lesson because they're forgetting, which will then be the intonation of your resentment or the commanding officer. So bear that in mind, but that's the intonation, is the reminder, which is please ask me that politely. So that's how we want to aim it. Of course, it's going to be difficult if you really are feeling angry. I would assume then that you're feeling really angry, not because they've forgotten, but for some other reasons around what they're saying. Maybe they've demanded something which is so outrageous that actually it's got nothing to do with politeness, right? Then your trigger isn't about the polite, it's about something else. And if that is the case, I doubt you'll be able to remember to say, please ask me that politely. So that probably doesn't have to be considered.
If they really want something.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So that's the first thing, is the intonation of reminder. This is what we're wanting to do. It's like we're standing next to them, reminding them of what we're wanting, as opposed to accusing them for what they've forgotten. Because that's just going to shut them down. So that's important to try and convey to them. The second thing relates a bit more to a comment that I made at the beginning, which is around, you will only be able to use the skill if you are aware that they're being impolite. If they're not, well, you can't say to them, please ask me that politely, because you can't even, it's just, you're so used to it not being there. So the question we might ask is, well, how can we accelerate that, right, that learning process? And there are two ways to do that. The first is to support you in increasing your awareness can be done exponentially by including the people around you in the same process. Okay? So, for example, in our family situation with Renee, Kaylin, who's six now, and myself, if I'm hearing Kaylin asking something, and I'm just responding without asking her to be polite, and Renee hears that, Renee can also support me in being aware that I have not heard it. Obviously, you're hoping that she's also recognize that I've forgotten, right? Well, I'm not aware. So two people will have greater awareness than just one on their own. Mm. So if you've got, you know, a couple or a spouse, it can be very useful to say to them, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. If you're hearing that our daughter asked us something and I'm not saying please ask me that politely, or you can see that I've actually just total unawareness of her being impolite, then just remind me as well, please. Then we're going to get to how you can do that a bit later as well. Because the last thing you want is some conflict now between spouses about, you know, reminding each other. So we'll have a look at that. But the more people you have, and this includes your children, make no mistake of Kaylin telling us where we're being impolite and we've forgotten something. So the greater the number of people, the more exponential your awareness is. Because it's not like just, let's say you only remember one out of three and they only remember one out of three. It doesn't mean that it's now just the sum of that, which is two out of three times. Because if you're just, for those other two, could be their other one. So it's exponential. If you've got three, four, five people in the house, you'll literally be covered, because it just requires one out of five to remember that, as opposed to, you know, you on your own. So the best way is to expand other people and say, listen, if you're hearing that I'm having a conversation and I forget, or I'm not aware that our daughter is being impolite at that moment, then just let us know so we can all play the game or do whatever to remind us. Okay, so that's one way to accelerate it. The second way is what I'd like to look at, which is deepening the skill, which is I've realized that in our family situation, I'd wanted to accelerate Kaylin's learning to be polite a lot quicker than it was currently happening, because she was also spending a significant amount of time with, obviously, Renee, with her biological dad, with her grandparents, who might not have the awareness or the skills, neither rightly or wrongly, but they didn't know how to do it in a really powerful, effective way, which is kind of what we might be looking at, right? So I couldn't just consider that if Kaylin's going to spend one-fifth of her time with me, or I'm only going to catch one out of five of her impoliteness, that's not going to work for me. It's just, you know, I needed to up that game significantly and accelerate that. So how are we going to do that? And part of that is, just want to see that I've got the right game that's coming up, is it got me thinking along the same lines as, well, if I just keep saying to her, please ask me a bit politely, I felt like I was also on a stuck record, because every few days I'm still asking her that, and it's like, why isn't she remembering this? And of course the challenge is, well, she can't remember it because four out of five times she's not been reminded that she, you know, needs to be polite. So I need to create another impact that would make it more, create greater awareness for her. And at that point in time, we were watching a television program that was called Minute to Win It. And basically Minute to Win It was a game where a participant had 1 minute in which to do a certain activity, and then if they did it in that minute, they would win it. They would win some prize. And we came up with this game called A Minute to Win It, and we found it incredibly successful in this learning of politeness. And we then shared it with other parents, like yourselves, who then applied it, even though they've got no understanding of what the actual real game is. Right? So even though I'm going to share that with you, it's not that you have to know the game or be familiar with it, because the concept is going to be the same in what I'm going to share with you. Now, let's say Caden says, can I have some juice? Now, traditionally, I would have said, please ask me that politely. Please ask me that politely along those lines. I want now that to shift. So I said, minute to win it, and it basically said that she can ask me that again politely in a minute's time, as opposed to right now. And this is why it's really clever. The next minute, she is thinking about the sentence she's going to use to ask me politely. Please give us some juice. Please give us some juice. Please give us some juice. Now, a minute can be a long time for a six-year-old, so she can't tell the time. Well, it depends. I would check. You know, it was, for me, I wasn't, you know, so strict about it. Mm. It could depend on how anxious she was, and we can chat about that. You can know. But the essence is the same, is there's some delay when they can then have the, like, a permission to ask it again, as opposed to straight away, please ask me that politely, right? Because there wasn't anything in it. I need to create some tension which would make it happen. And that was then he played the minute to win it game. So, can I go to the shops? Minute to win it. Well, you just say minute to win it, please. And you can figure it out, right? And then, as I said, one of the main reasons is she's then thinking about the sentence, which is what I'm wanting, is for her to reinforce that please can ask that politely. Then, because she wouldn't know how long a minute is, I used to say to her, okay, we're getting close to the end, get ready. Okay, ask me that again politely, please. Or ask me that politely, please. Then I would come in with that sentence, and then she would say, please can we go to the shops? And then I would, you know, deal with that from there. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some pointers which would be really useful for you in the minute to win a game, which is, bear in mind that I'm not thwarting their idea. I'm not denying what they're requesting. I'm just creating a delay. That delay, it's important that they don't perceive that you're trying to prevent them from getting what they're wanting. You're just creating a delay in them getting what they're wanting. Because otherwise, you might find that they're going to get really angry with you. And in my experience, and I've rated as 85 to 90% of the time, the anger has never come out of the game. If there's anger, it's because they're really feeling something about what's going on. This game doesn't turn into anger. If the anger was there originally, and I'll share with you how you can deal with that, because they might resist you this minute to win a game, like, oh, I don't want to play this game again, you know, because there's this frustration for them. But that won't be because of the game, it could be because they're really feeling that way. So don't worry about what happens if they start to, you know, be frustrated with it. It's happened in a few occasions, and I'll share with you how you can just avoid that in the next layer of skill. But this one is, it's just amazing. It works really beautifully. And we've got Caitlin, actually, it's interesting, this last week she was saying to me as well, I think when I said to her, I said, you know, please ask me that politely, she says, Robin, don't remind me, just say, minute to win it. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So she's wanting that game for some reason. So it's really worked very well for us and for people that we shared it with. So it's really simple, that if you're finding that you're having to keep asking your child, please ask me that politely, you've got to use a different kind of technique, because it's just not going anywhere, right? And I believe that was because there were too many times where they were being reinforced not to be polite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we played the minute to win it game, which was just simply minute to win it, and then there was a delay of some sort. And then when it came close to the end, I would obviously start letting the child know, okay, 10 seconds more. Then they're sitting there waiting. 5 seconds, and then it would be as such. I'm not sure that would work too well with a teenager who might get really upset, so you might want to consider that.
Mm-hmm. And what happens if they reply immediately with what you want?
Well, I would probably say the same thing. Okay, you can ask me that again in a minute's time. Please, can I go to the shops?
Okay, well, to reinforce asking it correctly the first time.
So if they do that straight away, it's never happened again with me either, I would just say, okay, so I hear you've asked me that now, and I'd like you to ask me that again in 30 seconds. Yeah, right. I'll just it's what I call absorb it, and then go with it. So instead of rejecting and saying, no, you can't ask me that now, which again is going to create conflict, I absorb it, thanks, I hear that you've asked me that politely now, and ask me again in 30 seconds. Because what I do is I absorb what they've done, and I'm not confronting it, and I still say what I'm needing. Does that make sense? Whereas most people start confronting, and then you're just going down the spiral of antagonism and the power dynamic. Because I have the right to say no, and then we go, this doesn't work. So it's, I absorb what they're saying and I move forward with what I'm still needing. And that's worked very well. So two pointers before we go into the role play is, if it is that you're nervous that they might get upset, then you can still engage them in that process of that minute, right? So it might be, okay, so can we go to the shops? Minute to win it. You can feel that you might lose them, right, in that space. You might say, okay, so it looks like there's something really important that you might want to get at the shops. Yeah, there is, because of da-da-da-da-da, and you're having a conversation with them. You say, okay, well, we've got 30 more seconds. What else are you wanting to do at the shops? Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 3, 2, 1. Go for it. Ask me that again, please. And then they come in. So that's one way to keep them if you're fearing that they might actually be so frustrated. And the last thing you want is for us to turn into something else when actually it was just a reminder and a creative tension. So that's what I found very useful is, especially with the young child, you can dramatize it slightly. It's like, oh, 30 seconds, okay, we're getting close now. Get ready. 5, 4, are you sure you're ready? You got the sentence ready? 2, 1, please ask me that politely. You know, so you can make it into something that's a bit more exciting than just minute to win it. Go. You know, so it depends on the child, how's looking. As I said, I've played it, but that more depends on how I see the person on the other end responding. This isn't, I'm not trying to teach her a lesson. She will learn a lesson, but my intention is not to force it on her. She will experience it, and all I'm wanting to do is just create that little delay there in whatever way that looks like. Does that make sense as well? Okay, so let's take a look at how that might work, which is very simply, it's a challenging one to roleplay this one, but let's take a look at that, which is, we'll have a look to see how it works on a slightly more confrontational one, which is the two people come up, we'll have the normal statement, can I have some juice, minute to win it, and then let there be a bit of a delay, and then see what comes up for you about how you can pull this person back into, you know, a period of time, and make it like 10 seconds for yourself as opposed to a minute.
Sorry, what happens if they can't remember what the question is? Because I have that a lot, right? But, so there's three children in the car, and it's chaos, and a question comes up, and it's not polite, and then now you've said a minute to win it, I know that, and then they can't remember the question. So then okay. You go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, okay, ask me a question. I can't remember what I wanted to ask.
So what I would say to them is, oh man, it sounds like you really wanted something, now you don't know what you're wanting, so how about we just wait a bit and see if it comes up, and if it comes up again, then just ask me that again politely, please.
That's
It could have, it came up as well, a parent shared, I've got three children, there's so much chaos going in, how am I going to keep track of what time it is and whose question's going what? And the solution there was also quite simple for me is, basically give them the responsibility, which is minute to win it, and when you feel ready that a minute is gone, then please ask me that again politely. Now it's responsibility of them. And for me, it's not so much about is it a true minute, it's that there's some delay where they can't just ask straight away, they're thinking, okay, nearly I'm going to ask, and that then they ask. And as I said, if there are lots of children or you can keep tabs on the time, then give that responsibility for them to manage. And instead of saying, after a minute, then tell me, because then you're going to have perhaps run into a risk of that wasn't a minute, no, but it is a minute, but your minute's longer than my minute, then just say again, so minute to win it, when you feel that enough time has passed and you feel ready to ask me, then please ask me that again politely. And now it's up to them. And if they forget, it doesn't matter. Because
all
that's
the ones
not
will
the
say
purpose.
It straight away.
Yep.
They'll say it straight away, that's how I'm waiting a minute.
So it could be that is the case, and it works, but no problem with that. If that keeps repeating, then we need to find something else that's going to create that experience. What we wanted to convey then is basically just the statement, minute to win it, right? And then the child, who's the child in this situation going to be?
Do you want to start off as the child?
Okay,
so the child, you'll pick up on what's happening, where's her energy like, right? And then you would want to make it a certain amount of time in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. And you taking her to that point without losing her, making her start to feel really frustrated. She'll decide how she is feeling at this moment. So you won't know that. You're just going to judge it by your look at your observation of her or your interaction with her. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want my pink Crocs.
Minute to win it, please. Can you ask me that politely, please?
Can I have my pink Crocs, please?
Yeah. And what might be useful is sharing when it's about to finish. So instead of just coming and saying,
okay.
Please ask me that politely, it might be, okay, we're getting close. Okay, a couple more seconds. There we go. Ask me that again politely, please. Or please ask me that politely, or whatever comes out at that time. But show that it's done, right? That there's some time.
Okay.
And maybe give it a go now to just, as I said, just give a bit more at the end so that they feel there's coming.
Okay.
And they're getting ready for that. Yeah.
Mom, read me this book.
Minute to win it, please. Time coming up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Please, can you read me this book, Mom?
Great. Can you feel the difference? Mm-hmm. It's like pulled you in. It doesn't make it look as if she's trying to punish you. It makes you like, okay, I'm getting ready for my sentence, and then it's there. And that. It works a lot more efficiently. Can you feel it as well?
It's
a lot more fun, right?
Yeah,
As I said, this is a reminder. At the same time, we want them to have a creative tension, and that will be the time that's in there. What I found is, with Kaylin saying, minute to win it, she starts asking me, is that like 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, are we getting close to 30 seconds? She says, okay, how many more seconds are left? Oh, we're nearly there. 10. And she might start counting down. So she's part of that game, right? As I said, she often starts asking, are we there? Are we there? And that's what we're wanting, is this more positive experience. I said, I don't really want to punish or discipline in those ways, and we found this works very well. You want to give it another go?
Okay.
I want my Easter eggs.
Minute to win it, please. We're nearly there, ready to count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Can I have my Easter eggs, please, Mom?
Do you need to say again, please ask me that
question? I would, it's whichever feels most best
okay.
for you, whatever comes up. I think you could do both as comfortably without it creating a negative
okay.
in this situation. Because it's the same like that when they say please. You say, please ask me that again politely. Or I think because enough time has passed, you could just go in straight and say, please ask me that politely. Do you want to just switch it just in this while we're still up there? And what might be useful, because you used the examples of the countdowns quite nice, check to see if you can pull them in another way. It's like, okay, well, like you said, the Easter eggs. Like, I know you want those Easter eggs, the one we got yesterday, it's coming up, and I'm sure, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me because you want the red one. Hey, right, we're nearly ready. Are you ready? 3. And that's how you can also pull them in. So have a look to see how you can expand and be creative in that.
Okay. Water.
Minute to win it. You ready? Count with me. 3, 2, 1. Go!
Please, can I have some water now?
It could be also in that case, it's like, oh man, it sounds like you're really thirsty. This is going to be a long minute for you. Hey, okay, well, we're nearly there. We've got like now 10 more seconds. Are you ready with that? I'm sure your mouth looks very dry. Or can you experience it as well, right?
Yes.
So that's how you can do it if you're concerned that if you just left it for a minute and then said, okay, you know, ready or ask me that politely. Again, you need to judge where your child's at.
It makes a big difference when you engage within that minute.
Yes.
Because I was thinking, oh, now I have to wait. No.
Yeah. If that's how they're feeling, that's where I say learn how to engage so that it doesn't become that. I mean, for Kaylin, I've very rarely had that experience with her where she starts feeling that. Then actually it's just like the silence, we carry on chatting, and then she says, is the minute gone yet? And then suddenly it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's no fixed rule. You just dance with that. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Let's leave that for me. Thank you. So, if you look actually on page 9, if it is that your experience is that they resist the game, right? Now, again, I'm sharing from my perspective and my experience. I have an experience of thousands of children to be able to cover every nook and cranny of what they might or might not do. I'm just sharing what's worked for me in all the situations that I've been in, if this is the case, that the child is already feeling that sense of frustration and anger. So when you say to them, minute to win it, or maybe you were just unaware that they were feeling that way and they therefore reacted to your minute-to-minute game, as you can see, they might say, like, oh, I hate this game. That same kind of situation. For me, it's the same kind of skills of acknowledging the emotions, acknowledging the feelings. In one case, it could look something like this.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, I don't like this stupid game. So here's what I was sharing about absorbing. Yeah, I'm sure you really just wish we could just carry on quickly, not have to wait, hey? But so there I'm acknowledging, like, yeah, actually waiting for this, it just sounds like it's the last thing you want to do. They'll probably go and say, yeah, it is. And in my experience when I've done that, Kaylin responds like that, but she's still willing to play the game, even though she's frustrated about it. I usually then make the time a bit shorter and say, okay, right, please ask me that politely, and she does, and then we carry on. So for me, what's important is I've experienced that I don't, and I haven't, because the first time, well, the first few times this happened, I kind of thought, when I said, minute to win it, and she was like, oh, I don't want to play this game, I was like, maybe I need to kick the game out. Maybe I must actually use a whole different skill. But what I realized is when I just acknowledged what she was saying to me, like, oh, actually, this is probably the last thing you feel like doing. She kind of like, I got the sense that she was still playing the game, even though she was feeling upset about it, right? But it would have been more costly for me to throw out the game and to change it, because then, of course, what have we got in the future? So that was one situation. Another one, if she says something like that, which comes more from a coaching perspective, might look like this. Oh, Dad, I don't like this game. Okay, I hear that. And what other way do you suggest we use that will support you in remembering your please and thank yous? Because remember, the minute to win game is just about supporting them in remembering. If they're saying that they don't want to play your technique of how to remind them, then open it up for them. Okay, well, it sounds like the minute to win game doesn't work for you. So what I'm wondering is, what other way can you think of that will then support you in remembering your please and thank yous? Because that's what this whole thing is about, right? And that's a bit like the setting of boundaries. I'm stating what is needed. So what other thing can you think of that will support you in remembering your please and thank yous? Basically implying please and thank yous are non-negotiable. And I'm open to seeing that maybe what I'm doing isn't working. So what do you think could work best for you? And you'll find that the children will then come up with their ideas. And you might find that actually might be better than yours. So that's if you're wanting to renegotiate a way which is not your own with a child. And that kind of phrase and statement is very useful. Okay, so I guess that what I'm doing isn't working. So what can you think of that will work, that will support you in remembering your please and thank yous? And now they're going to come up with a solution that might do that. So that's a very effective way, if you can remember that, to leverage another layer if you just find that this isn't working or it's really resentful. They resent it. Does that make sense? Great. Bear in mind, before we go into how we can support our spouses in this, is what we model is what our children learn. So when we start playing, when we did start playing the minute to win a game, we suddenly found Kaylin going to her grandma and grandfather's, and when they forgot to say please and thank you, she started playing the minute to win a game on them. Minute to win it. And they were like, what's this? Minute to win? What are you talking about? So you might have that, right? So you might want to explain to some people so that they, you know, especially those who are other caregivers, primary caregivers, so they're also aware of that. Otherwise, they could come across as really strange. At the same time, that's the last, and that's okay for me, as long as she's learning it quickly. But we found that really useful. And secondly, remember that because we're modeling unintentionally or intentionally, it's going to come back to us. So if you are uncomfortable with the idea that your children could come back to you and say, minute to win it, because that's going to really get you angry because you think they're being cheeky, well, you might need just to reconsider how that's going to look, because it will come back in some way. Right? So you need to be able to manage that, because that can be really frustrating for some parents. They experience it as like a back chapter where, oh, you cheeky little bummer, you know, saying that to me. And sometimes it does. It slips my mind, and the next thing I know is Kane saying to me, a minute to win it. I'm like, oh, you know, it's just not the time to play the game. That's part of the reality, which on the one hand shows, wow, our children learn very quickly. On the other hand is, well, are we comfortable with them doing to us as we do to them? And if you're not, well, then you might need a different skill set, because that might not work for you. So just bear in mind that that is what happens. We had the same thing, I think, Kane was doing to her friends at school, right? What we found amazing there is that the friends just, they bought into it. It's like, okay, yeah, no, this is how it happened. So they played the game. They would wait and then they would ask. And suddenly you've got these children being so much more polite. So we looked at the simplest of the skills, please ask me that politely. We then looked at what happens if they separate from the please from the request, which is, again, just a reminder, please ask me that politely again and share with me what it is you're needing, so they can condense into one sentence. We looked at, if we wanted to accelerate this process, one thing is it's very useful getting other people in the family to support you and being aware so that you can maximize those opportunities and reinforce what it is that you're needing. And of course, the minute-to-minute game is one of those opportunities where you can create a greater creative tension so that they have a greater chance of remembering, which is what we're really wanting, this intention of reminding our children of what they already know. We don't have to re-tell them that we say please before we want something or when we request something. It's something which we want to remind them of so that it becomes a habit, an ingrained habit, and that's what we're really looking at. There's another kind of game that we found very useful, and we've borrowed it from the workshop on engaging cooperation, which is around the humor part. Engaging cooperation is another workshop where there are a lot of skills that we use to engage a child's cooperation and invite their cooperation, so it's actually more inviting cooperation. But this one is the humor, which is we imagine that the please and thank you is something which you could lose, right? So we experienced this when Kaylin would spend some time with people who are not familiar or skilled in supporting and being polite. She would come back, whether they spent a night there or a weekend or a long period of, a shortish period of time, and she would come back and she would have like reverted back into just her demanding style, right? And we were like, whoa, this is all this hard work. So one of the ways of creating the humor is to say, well, I wonder where the please and thank yous are. Right? And this works fantastically for young children. I wouldn't do this with my teenagers. Again, these are skills you use and then you figure out how to adapt them, right? For me, teenagers would work more in conversations and in problem solving as opposed to techniques, you know, clever techniques, which are more what we're talking about at this moment. So that was, I wonder where the please and thank yous are. Do we leave them at so-and-so's house? Do we leave them at granny's house? I wonder if they're like under the cushions there. Maybe when you're lying down, it slipped out and still there, right? And then we would kind of joke about that, and then that would again create an impression in them about where the please and thank yous are. What we really enjoyed and why we felt it was so successful is because Kaylin would then say, no, look, it's still here, it's in my pocket. And then she would like take it out of her pocket and eat it, and then she would go and say, please, can I now have some juice? So for her, it was this way of reminding her in a different way. And we found that really worked. So if that also comes up for you, it's another great opportunity. I think there's you'll see in the workbook on page 10, it's I wonder where they are skill. So I want some cake. Oh, no. I wonder where the please and thank yous have gone. Where did they go? Maybe they're on the plate. Maybe they're somewhere else. Oh, I got them here. Look, I'm putting them back in. Mom, can I have some cake, please? So we found that really worked well. We also found that the next few times, Kaylin would still come and say to us, she would say, like, can I please have some cake? And then she would say, you see that I remembered my please and thank yous. Or you remember that I didn't leave them at granny's house. I've got them here in me. So again, it reinforced that for her, it was a positive experience on how to build that with her. I don't think Renee ever created a sense of frustration for her when we did the please, I wonder where they are game. No, it was, again, it's that energy that you're coming with, right? You know, it's like, oh man, I wonder where this is. Those please, thank yous were there yesterday. I heard you say them every day yesterday, or every time yesterday. And it seems like they've just gone missing. It's like, I'm wondering where they are. Like, did the dogs eat them? Yeah. Anything that, and then she reclaims it. And that's what we found very useful as well. Now, you might pose a question and say, well, Robin, you shared with us the really simple phrase. You shared with us that if it doesn't work, use the minute-to-win game. If that still doesn't work, use the wonder game. It's like, there must be something going on here, Robin, that it doesn't look like this is working consistently over time, right? Now, that may be true if you look at it from one perspective. At the same time, from my perspective, we have got what we wanted. It's a process. And the curveballs are because we've experienced that without the consistency, it's difficult to ingrain it as a habit. My experience now is we don't often have to do this at all. It's quite phenomenal how she's taken it on and ingrained it. Is that correct, Renee?
Yes.
So that's very much there. That forgiving part was a process. It's not like the next day Celine's going to be there. So just bear that in mind, that it will be your consistency. It's like learning a new language. It's there, and then it's more like just tweaking as opposed to having to, you know, re-drive this every time. So I'm just stating, I acknowledge that it may sound like it hasn't worked, which is why we've had to keep adding new games. At the same time, our experience is less and less and less, and we also wanted to vary it as opposed to just create one way, which might die. We wanted to keep her experience of being reminded positive until it became a habit, as opposed to run the risk of it falling apart. Francois?
Would you reinforce with descriptive praise, possibly,
hearing
manners?
I would say the same thing, so let's say she remembers, let's say after playing the I Wonder game, right? I might say that, it looks like that you've got them all with you today. Mm. Your please and thank yous look like they're with you today.
I'm thinking more of when they do it independently. Like Gabriel's suddenly started saying please and thank you.
Yeah, certainly. So descriptive praise reinforces whatever you're wanting. And very much that's a great way to reinforce her awareness or his awareness of that. So that's another way you could put it down to reinforce that. Yeah. Any other questions on that at this moment? So let's have a look then at the next one, which is a literally guaranteed possibility that the difference in awareness between parents is going to be there. That either you're going to notice more opportunities of being impolite than the other parent. I'd be very strange if both are the exact same amount. So how can you support each other in case the other one has let it slip or hasn't been aware? So if you look in that example, there it is that the mom is walking by and hears the child ask the dad something. Can I use your computer now? And the dad says, sure thing. So the mom hears this, right? The mom can then say, guys, please remember to ask each other politely. Is another way of her to intervene. But again, the phrase is very non-threatening. It's a subtle intervention that reminds the two of them to be polite in that instance. And the dad can then say, okay, please ask me that again. Can I please use your computer now? Sure thing, it's over there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be very useful in this is, even if you haven't pre-negotiated this with your partner, that statement will still be non-confrontational. It's just basically saying, guys, remember to ask each other politely, please. So it's also like a short and nice, sweet way of intervening. It'll be far... you would run less risk if you just agreed with each other that, listen, mm-hmm. if it is that you hear me forgetting, just remind me, please, and remind actually both of us. Because this isn't about you getting it wrong, it's also about supporting the child in remembering that we are polite. So that's really useful as well. Guys, please remember that we ask each other politely. And then what would need to happen is the parents would then obviously need to go back, and it's great for them to say, please ask me that politely, or the child could just intervene like that and make that work. Does that make sense? The same could happen when two children are fighting, or you're hearing two children and they're asking for something without being polite, but this is more around where there's an emotion attached, right? Because that can also become more of a demand. So our ability and skills to intervene in that are going to be in the same light, which is, this is now perhaps my personal belief, and I'm going to assume it is your belief as well, and you can just check with me if that is the case, that even when we're feeling angry with each other, it's my belief that we still can be and should be respectful to each other. That doesn't mean pretending that we're not. It is still being polite at the same time as being angry with someone else. Right? So in this case, there might be two children who are saying, that is so unfair, give it back to me. We can still intervene by still reminding them. We still ask each other politely, even if we're feeling frustrated or upset, which is what I'm really wanting my child to learn is, they can be angry, and they can still be polite, even though they're angry. It doesn't mean that polite you have to be all sweet and gentle and kind. You can still show that respect, which is, please give it back to me, or please can I have it back, even though they're feeling that frustration. Your way of intervening will be, and this is what's so important for me, is remember it's a reminder, and in this case it's a reminder to be polite, and your feelings aren't bad, even though you're feeling this way, you can still be polite, and that's what you're basically sharing. And that intervention is reminding them of both of those things. We need to be polite, and we need to be polite even when we may be feeling really upset or angry about something. Because that will then come up and show through that in future when your children are angry, they will still have that awareness of being polite as opposed to it just goes out the window, which is usually what happens when people get angry or frustrated. That also makes sense.
We're focusing on being polite to each other with the girls. They're getting to a stage where they're getting bigger, so the conversations that are taking place are challenging with each other because there's a lot of dynamics that are happening. So for me, I used an adaptation of that, and that when they were arguing with each other, instead of me saying, please remember the agreements, also going to default of what that is, what that looks like, we've got agreements in this family, how can we be polite and all of that. And I literally just said to them one day when they were not being polite to each other, I just said, please can you speak to each other politely? And it was actually Tessa who was being impolite, and Tessa just said the sentence without me even having to say anything. It was just literally that sentence that triggered it, and they looked at each other. And I wrote in the email that they looked at each other, all looked at each other in such shock because it just like happened. And then James flushed the sock down the toilet. So it was, we couldn't even deal with that afterwards. So it was, the silence was amazing, how the impact of it and the awareness of it. And so.
And I'm sure with the awareness, right, you can start to dance in other circumstances or situations that we might not have geared a specific skill for, right? Because as you said, it might come up in a certain way, and you can adapt that sentence or the skill to suit that specific situation and for what it is that's needed. So it's not like it has to be a specific thing. It becomes far more fluid, depending on the situation, like you said with the two of them.
We speak to each other politely, please.
Or, but the concept is still the same. It's short, it's sweet, it's non-accusational, it's a reminder, and children seem to thrive on it, as opposed to feeling accused, belittled, undermined, attacked.
Yeah, this whole conversation, because they just get tired of this conversation. That was very clear for me, that stood out for me last week during it, is that you actually don't have to converse all the time. It literally can be short and sweet and exactly get the same outcome.
You see, for many parents, the long conversation is a venting.
Yes.
Right? It's because they need to vent. They need to somehow get rid of this pent-up energy and frustration and anger, and by doing it, they make themselves feel better. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to make you wrong, and in making you wrong, it proves that I'm right. So there's a self-fulfillingness about it, which is where the lecture comes in. The lecture, the moral, and I told you this, you didn't listen, and of course then the children just switch off. Mm. Which you've shared before is, you know, it might not be as effective as just a reminder, which just reminds them and gets you quicker back onto track as opposed to getting you sucked into the spirals of power dynamics.
Yeah, and they know this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Of the age.
Exactly.
So it's not a teaching.
Yeah.
It is literally a reminder.
Yeah.
When your children get to 6 and 7 or whatever, it is a reminder.
Yeah.
Not getting away, you've done it. Sorry, it's something that happens quite a bit, is that what happens if the child is being really unreasonable? And if they're like pulling it, if they push the person, or if it gets to a stage where it's like that, right? It's not just and it's like some physical stuff. Do you concentrate on that first, of treating each other with respect, or is it the please that comes first?
So
for me, it would be we treat each other's bodies with respect.
I mean, I would assume that safety is always first and foremost, and then those would be secondary. And bearing in mind that if you're also wanting to remind or to teach, people are going to have to be in a receptive space to be able to hear you. And if you're not in that space, then it's not going to happen. So first sort those out, and then you can say, and guys, please remember, we speak to each other politely, or we ask things from each other politely, even when we're really feeling angry, like it looks like you both are at this moment. And if you want, you can even model that and say, so that might look like, you know, please can I have that? Or I'm really angry at the moment and please can I have it back?
Yeah.
So you can model it how it might work best for you. So Does that answer your question there?
Yeah.
It sounds like
you're clear. Because that happens a lot, right? I mean, that happens quite a bit where for me, the focus wouldn't be on them, but I get that, yes.
Yeah.
How do you put it in? I suppose for me, it would have to be done, okay, how could we have done this differently, right?
Yeah, it could be a problem-solving process or something else, yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't visualize it, to put that in.
Yeah. When there are other things more important, correct.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's not a reminder.
No, it's like a,
there are other things that are more important.
You also bring in your,
Any other questions on polite? So basically, to sum up then, for me, it's going to depend on your consistency. Your consistency is going to depend on your awareness. Then also, whether or not you have on the tip of the tongue what it is you're wanting to say in that moment. Right? So that's your response, because you've got a certain number of decades experience of whatever you've been saying up until today. So to change that can sometimes be very challenging, to re-language our first initial responses. So that could be challenging. So there's that component. And it's all going to come down to two things, which is we're reminding our children, and the way that we're reminding them is modeling it and just really making it as short and as simple as possible. Which is, who's asking that politely? Nearly all comes around that. The rest is all secondary and tertiary to that point. That's really all that we're wanting. If it is that those don't really work, then it might be that there's something else going on that we need to look at as a form of reminding. And that's really it. It's just short and sweet and simple.